This word here, companion, literally means that God intended for marriage to have two people, a man and a woman, to become the best of friends. That's why you leave, cleave, and become one flesh. And that one fleshment of marriage means that in body, soul, and mind, that you become one together. You jive together. You fit together. You do things together. Now, folks, that's why many marriages come into real problems when the children leave home. Have you noticed that? Do you know that one of the highest divorce rate happens when children are grown, not when they're little? Can I tell you why? Because mom and dad put all their time, money, energy, and companionship into their children. And all of a sudden, the children are grown. And all of a sudden, the children leave. And all of a sudden, mom and dad end up sitting in the table and saying, well, who are you? And what is suffered is that companionship, folks. The Encouraging
Word. Powerful preaching. That voice you just heard is Dr. Don Wilton. And we believe God is going to use the time that we spend in the book of Hebrews today studying God's encouraging word to change each of us to be more like Jesus Christ. As we study the Word together, know that we're here for you. We're connecting on our website, theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. And this phone number, 866-899-WORD. You know, I know that we talk a little less and text a little more, but sometimes it's really good to talk with someone. Has God got something burdening your heart you want somebody to pray with? Call us, 866-899-9673. We would love to connect with you. And now, here's Dr. Don Wilton.
Well, I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. It's very important for us to have a copy of the Bible in front of us because here at First Baptist Church, we believe what the Bible teaches us. And even though sometimes we would love to be able to talk about all kinds of things and maybe share stories and nice little things with one another, we cannot do that because we believe that this book called the Bible has within its pages the truth of God. And so everything that we believe about life and above all that we come to know about God is found here in the pages of this book, the Bible. So whether you're in a Sunday school class or discipleship group, wherever you are, you're always going to find that we look to the Bible. We open the Bible because we believe that the Bible is God's word and the Bible will tell us what to do. Now, here's the very interesting thing. Another thing that I don't do is I don't choose subjects to preach on. Some of you may not have noticed that, but I don't believe that I should be spending every week trying to find a subject. So what I do is I do what God tells me to do, is I take the Bible and I preach through the Bible. For example, we've been in the book of Hebrews, for those of you that are perhaps worshiping with us for the first time. Now, it may shock some of you, but for 68 Sunday mornings just like this, 68, now that's a lot, we've been in the same book in Hebrews. There's a lot of people in our church and worshiping by way of television, I don't even have to tell them to turn in Hebrews. They just put their Bible down and it opens to Hebrews. We've been there for 68 Sundays. We find ourselves now in chapter 13. And we're going to be in verse 3 and 4 because that comes up next. And God is going to speak to us, folks, because the things that we're going to talk about today run very deep in our hearts. They are very important. Sometimes we come up to things in the Bible that, I'll be honest with you, I would prefer to just kind of sidestep. I'd just like to kind of jump over them because they're difficult to talk about. And because the subject matter is perhaps something that might make some of us feel a little bit uncomfortable because it involves us. Or for whatever reason. But folks, when you listen to God's Word, I promise you what's going to happen to you today. I'm going to promise you this. It's God's promise. It's not Don Wilton's promise. God is going to speak to your heart, and He's going to bless you. I'm telling you, you watch what happens this morning. because this is a great word of redemption and reconciliation. We're going to discover some things that God tells us and teaches us in His Word. Now, for 12 chapters, that's quite a lot if you go back to chapter 1, for 66 or 65 Sunday mornings, we looked at what God teaches us. Then we get to chapter 13. God doesn't teach us. He tells us what we've got to do based upon what we've been taught. On September 11th, 2001, Flight 93 took off, and the people on board had no idea what was in store for them. They told us that they did get the word that there was something horrible going on in America today, and that there were people who intended great harm against our people and against our country. We're told that there was a conversation that happened on Flight 93. We don't know what extent. And at some point in that conversation, somewhere near the state of Pennsylvania, a gentleman by the name of Todd Beamer stood up and he said basically this. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we know what's going on. We know what we've been told. There's no more time. We don't have time. We don't have the luxury of time. We can't waste any more time. Let's roll." And folks, we'll never know what the heroism of those people meant to who knows how many people. In their instance, it was the ultimate sacrifice. They gave their lives, just like men and women have given their lives in the uniform of the United States of America, so that people like you and I can live in freedom today. Well, I want to read to you just the first four verses of chapter 13. We've looked at the first two, but I'll just remind you about them. This is what the Bible says. Let's roll. Action number one, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Love your fellow Christians. Action number one. Let's not talk about it. Red, yellow, black, or white. I tell you what, when it involves God, God has no color in His eyes, folks, and nor ought we as believers. Because the Bible says you could come from China, you can come from Guatemala, you can come from Africa, you can come from the United States. When you're in Christ, you are brothers and sisters in Him. Isn't that wonderful? I got brothers and sisters around the world that don't even speak a word of English. Number two. Action number two, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Action number two, share your blessings. We looked at that last week. God gripped our hearts. How do you share these blessings? Intentionally, outwardly, and unknowingly. All right, action number three. Action number three, identify with sufferers. Let me read to you. Action 3 and Action 4. Verse 3. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves are suffering. Marriage should be honored by all. By the way, that all means everybody, not just married people. And the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Now, God's going to tell us something here today that is unbelievable, folks. I can't wait to get there. Action number three, let's roll. Identify with sufferers. That's what the Bible says in verse 3. Now, God uses inmates in a prison as the illustration of what he's talking about. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Some people have told me that if I'm ever going to identify with an alcoholic, that I need to go out and get drunk. No, that's not what God is saying. God is not saying in order to identify with an inmate, I need to get sentenced to go to prison. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, I've got a little bit of a struggle here because I've never been to prison, excepting once. Some of you didn't know this, but I'm going to confess to you, I spent one night in the brig when I was in the Army. and so did 200 of my fellow soldiers. And I'm going to tell you why, folks, because I was a member of the Armored Division. And we were at a movie, and we were out there in nowhere, and the paratroopers came to the same movie. And the paratroopers started to tell us that they were better than us. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you, if you're a member of the airborne, you never tell a tanker that you're better than he is. So all the armored division stood up, me included, and we decided to teach the paratroopers a thing or two. Now, the military police didn't like it very much, and so they came, blew their whistles, took the whole lot of us, put us in the paddy wagon, and off to the brig. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I do not, neither can I identify fully with people who are in prison. So how am I supposed to identify with sufferers? I've never been divorced. So how can I identify with people who have gone through a divorce? I don't know that I have genuinely ever been truly hungry to the point at which I just cannot find anything to eat. So how can I identify with the hungry? And so we could go on. Here's what God says. God tells me that if I'm going to identify with sufferers, there are three things that I must do. Number one, I must remember them. So easy to forget people who are in need, isn't it? Number two, I must identify with them. Now, why and how can I identify with people in prison? Well, let me give you a couple of points of identification. Number one, because they have sinned. Guess what? I've sinned too. Number two, because they are behind bars. I know what it's like to be behind bars because of my personality, because of something that I've done, because of my own inadequacies, because of my behavior, because of something that I've been about. I know what it's like to feel as though my life is behind bars. Number three, because they are paying a penalty. Guess what, folks? God's word says the wages of sin is death. Sin carries a penalty. I identify with that. Number four, because they are lonely, or like they are today in many parts of the world. It's very easy to read about them and then forget about them. They are forgotten. So what can I do? I need to remember them. I need to identify with them. Number three, I need to bear their burdens with them. Now, how can I bear the burden of somebody that I have not been through the same experience that they've gone through? God does that for me. Now, you want to know how to do that? Just look at a mama, at a mother. Look at a father. I remember many years ago, my oldest son. Both my sons loved basketball, but we had a banquet or something in our dining hall, and I think my oldest son was about 14 or something, and I got a call. I got called out of this banquet in the dining hall like we had with the choir on Thursday night, a wonderful occasion. I got called out. Boy, my wife and I went running to the gymnasium, and my son was sitting there holding his arm, and the bone was literally sticking out like this. Now, folks, watch this. I hadn't broken my arm. But would you understand if I told you that the pain that I carried in my heart as a daddy was almost too much for me to bear? How can that be? You see, it's the love that I have. See, that first point, love your fellow Christians, share the blessings. That is what brings me to the point at which I can identify. God, by His grace, enables me, people like you and me, to what? To bear one another's burdens. So, how can we do that? Three suggestions. Number one, be there in person. Do something about it yourself. That's why even in our church, in a practical way, we've got incredible prison ministries through Mirror Image and through yesterday's teens. We've got people across the board who go in person. So number two, send someone else in person. What a wonderful gift God has given to us. If we're going to identify with those in need, that we could do something about it in person, we could send somebody else in person. But one thing we can certainly do is pray for them in person. All right, action number four. Be faithful in marriage. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you that there is a sense in which, I wish I could have just jumped over this one. Sometimes you get to passages in the Bible and you say, now, Lord, do I really need to preach about this subject? Because some people will feel uncomfortable and some people will think they're being picked on and it's a subject. And you come up with all these things. And as I got alone with the Lord, folks, I want you to listen today because God wrote something upon my heart that I want to share with you. First of all, I want to answer a question. What are the three reasons for marriage according to the Scriptures? Number one, reason number one, to have children. Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 1 and verse 28, be fruitful and multiply. By the way, that's how I got you. That was God's intended purpose. God takes two living people that He created with the purpose of having fellowship with Him, and He gave them the privilege of being able to be fruitful and multiply. He said, listen, I'm allowing you to get married, and I'm going to tell you that I'm going to, potentially, God says, give you the blessing. Now, I've got a little problem, you see. Number two, to provide companionship. To provide companionships. Genesis 2:18, it is not good for a man to be alone. Any questions? That's what it is. Now, folks, I want to make an announcement to you today. My wife, Karen, is my number one companion. She is my best friend. She's my companion. We hang around together. We laugh together. We travel together. We plan together. We do things together. We weep together. We struggle together. What do friends do? This word here, companion, literally means that God intended for marriage to have two people, a man and a woman, to become the best of friends. That's why you leave, cleave, and become one flesh. And that one fleshment of marriage means that in body, soul, and mind, that you become one together. You jive together. You fit together. You do things together. Now, folks, that's why many marriages come into real problems when the children leave home. Have you noticed that? You know that one of the highest divorce rate happens when children are grown, not when they're little. Can I tell you why? Because mom and dad put all their time, money, energy, and companionship into their children. And all of a sudden, the children are grown. And all of a sudden, the children leave. And all of a sudden, mom and dad end up sitting in the table and saying, well, who are you? And what has suffered is that companionship, folks.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back in just a moment with more of today's Bible teaching from Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word. Just want to say thank you. So many have, of the last 6 weeks, become encouragers to the ministry. If you don't know what that means, Dr. Don often says, you know, if we could ask you to do three things, first and foremost, we'd say, please pray for the ministry of The Encouraging Word. That's what you could do first and foremost for us. Number two, tell others about the ministry. Tell them where you're listening right now and ask them to join tomorrow at the same time listening, or perhaps to watch online or connect at theencouragingword.org. Or number three, would you consider financially supporting, becoming an encourager? If you go to our website, theencouragingword.org/encourager, you'll get all the detailed information. Dr. Don loves to talk about the brochure that we made for you. If you'd like a brochure, that's how this Southern voice says it, just let us know. You can call us at 866-899-9673 or meet us online and just let us know. I'd love more information on what it is to become an encourager. Just know we are grateful, and every day this is fruitful soil for ministry. Lives are being changed. People are giving their hearts to Jesus Christ every single day. And if you'd like to support that, we would be grateful to partner with you. Again, online details at theencouragingword.org, or pick up the phone and call us for more information at 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
Now, am I saying to you that your children are not important? No, I'm not, but I want to make an announcement today. According to God's plan, the single most important person to you is your spouse, not your children. If your children are coming before one another, you're in trouble. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, you're suggesting that we... Absolutely not. Children are absolutely prime. They consume us. It is the greatest joy of our lives. But God is the God of order. Folk, let me tell you something. You and your wife stop loving each other. You can run around all the universe with your children. You have given them nothing. Greatest joy you can give to your children is that mom and dad love each other. Let me tell you, it will thrill their hearts that the two of you are like glue. They want that more than anything else in the whole world, is that mom and dad are true companions together. So number one reason to have children. Number two, companionship. Here's number three. Third reason for marriage, to prevent sexual sin. Now, folks, I want you to turn very quickly to 1 Corinthians. You've got to kind of page backwards with your left hand now. You've got to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. A couple of months ago, I preached on this passage. In that particular message, there might have been two of them I preached on this passage, but let me just read to you a few verses here. Because the Bible says that God ordained marriage in order to prevent us from behaving immorally in our marriages. Watch this. It is good for a man not to marry. Excuse me. By the way, who said that marriage is the only way? I've heard people say, man, have I got to get married so badly? Let me tell you something, folks. Some people want to get married so badly, they marry badly. Can I make an announcement to you today? I would rather that you spend the rest of your life single than get married to the wrong person. Now, folks, listen to this. Singleness was God's preferred status. Paul makes it abundantly clear here. Don't spend your life running around under a compulsion that you've absolutely got to get married. Who said that? Who said that married people are more special than single people? Let me tell you something, folks. God says that He raises up single people who have no distractions in this world and are able to devote full time to worshiping and to glorifying God. Not that you don't do that in your marriage, but can I tell you something, folks? Today and tomorrow and the next day, I've got some real challenges in my life. You want me to tell them what it's all about? You, the church, the ministry, you're not all that goes on in my life. In fact, you're about third or fourth on the list. God, number one. My wife, number two. My children come third. Guess what? You're number four. You're number four. Not a single thing in this church must ever distract me from the priorities that God has given to me. Folks, what would happen if I lost my family? Can I tell you what would happen? I wouldn't be able to be your pastor. I wouldn't be able to tell people about Jesus. I wouldn't be able to encourage others. I'd have nothing to say. I got nothing to say. Let me tell you, you can make multi-millions, but you lose your family, you're going to lose everything. God is the God of order. Now look what He says here in verse 2. He says, but since there is so much immorality... By the way, is there any immorality in America today? Have you noticed the hot topics on television at the moment? You know what the latest one is called? Desperate Housewives. Now, I can't help telling you about it because I love to watch the news and I love sporting events. You can't watch an event. Every time it's popping up, watch out for the Desperate Housewives. Every time they talk about Desperate Housewives, they show you pictures. What are the pictures, folks? The pictures are always pictures of gross, immoral behavior. What about Sex in the City? You'd think that those people who acted in that were the people who run America. These are the people we need to go and consider about who should be the next president of the United States of America. These are the great I ams of America. What about the series entitled Wife Swap? Well, somebody told me, they said, now wait a minute, wife swap has no perversion in it. Well, then why do they call it wife swap? Why don't they call it mom swap? You want me to tell you why they call it wife swap? Because that's the hook. That's how America's going to run headlong. Everybody wants to watch it. They're watching it not because two moms change households. They're watching it because of what they think wife swap's going to show them. And so we could go on. Well, Paul said this a long time ago, didn't he? He said, since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. So therefore, do not deprive each other physically, except by mutual consent, and then only for a time, with one purpose in mind, and that is that you can go and consult with God and give yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Are you listening this morning, church?
Again, if the Lord has spoken to you, call us at 866-899-9673 or meet us online at theencouragingword.org, where you can discover great resources like this.
Satan is alive and is on the move in the United States. He is actively engaged in all aspects of our government, in our educational systems, and in the lives of our children, the next generation. Never forget, Satan has been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ, and this victory enables us and the next generation of believers to stand victorious in the presence of the enemy, unwavering and unafraid. This month, as you give a gift of $20 or more to The Encouraging Word, you will receive a powerful message series by Dr. Don Wilton, Satan, the Defeated Enemy Among Us. Plus, you will receive a copy of Dr. Wilton's inspiring book, Defying the Odds, to help encourage you through all of life's challenges. Request this empowering resource set today as you support The Encouraging Word with your ministry gift. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Your generous support enables us to bring the uncompromised and life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ to where people are around the world.
Our time's gone for today, but let's stay connected online at theencouragingword.org. Till next time, take care and God bless.
Preacher Wilton, I just wanted you to know how my family life has changed. I gave my heart to God listening to you on the radio. Now my wife has a new husband, and my kids have a new dad, and I thank God for your ministry.